Hello and welcome to Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. I'm joined today by Kent Bazemore. Of course, you know him from this past season, and what struck me always about Kent was how he was one of the few athletes who seemed to really enjoy talking to media, and he was always very human and open with us. And he's a free agent this summer and expects some big changes, and more than anything, is craving some stability. We're going to get into that here, but first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle, and then choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Support for today's show also comes from Locker Room. It's time to get in on Locker Room, the live audio-only sports talk platform where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time, and best of all, me. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. At times, I've been using Locker Room this season to record this podcast, and I gotta tell you, I really like it. It's sort of like this old-school sports radio call-in show, but easier ever to join, hang out, and talk, and best of all, it's free. How can you beat that? I'll be hosting a room this Thursday at noon Pacific time, along with Bram Hilsman of the Warriors Huddle podcast, so I'm letting you know now. So mark it down on your calendar. Noon on Thursdays, me and Bram, be a friend and come on through. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter account, and then join the Warriors or NBA group. Follow me at WC Goldberg to be notified when my room goes live, and I'm notifying you now, noon on Thursdays. Locker Room. Changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I wanted to start with the fact that you're a big PGA fan, and I wanted to get your thoughts on Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship a few weeks ago at his age, coming back from... What was he ranked like 162 in the world or something like that to win the championship?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What did you think about that?
I mean, if anyone knows about, you know, kind of working your way back, it's me. My career started out looking at the end of the pack, and you know, when you get down there or you start down there or wherever, you know, you find yourself in that situation. It takes a lot of like self confidence, self esteem, all those kind of things. You know, it's the hardest when you're slipping or whatever. So, you know, to see him come back and get it done, and then, you know, you can hear him talking throughout the week about his mindset and, you know, kind of, you know, where his head was, how he was approaching the rounds, and, you know, for him to stick with that and come out on top, show that consistency, you know, it's really, really inspiring for people like myself, you know, really trying to find their way back.
Who do you think should be the favorite in the... Well, who's your favorite in the U.S. Open coming up?
I mean, I'm really happy to see Jordan Spieth, you know, back out there, you know, competing. We've been Under Armour buddies for years now. So, you know, it's always good to see him. You know, he kind of went through the same thing, where you up, you down, on your way back up. So, real inspiring stuff. So, yeah, that's my pick for the Open.
Have you ever played against or with Jordan Spieth?
I have not. I haven't been that fortunate yet. I played with, you know, Jason Bohm. I played with Mark Leishman. I've seen Ann Baker Finch. I played behind Charlie Hoffman. So I've been close. You know, I go to the Tour Championship every year in Atlanta and get to follow those guys. So I've been pretty close to the game for a while now.
Who do you think is the top golfer in the NBA?
as far as just, you know, the best.
Yeah, if there was, if you guys had like an NBA championship golf tournament over a weekend, who would you put money on as the favorite?
I mean, myself first. I'm gonna be ready for that, but I definitely say Steph,
man. I played with him a
couple rounds this year, and he's a stick for sure. So, man,
definitely go with him.
I play with a couple other guys, but you know, Steph, he's been in,
you know, a couple of Web.com tour events. So.
He's played under that pressure, and that's, you know, that's kind of the difference between a weekend warrior and, you know, your club championship.
And just going back now to the season, obviously the last time we talked with you was right after that Memphis game. And obviously you and the whole team disappointed not to beat Memphis, not to make the playoffs after the play-in tournament. But in the days after, now that the season is over, is there any sort of, you know, thought of relaxing, thought of just sort of reflecting, knowing that you can now relax, understanding how challenging that this season was with all the coronavirus protocol and the condensed schedule and stuff? Is it a little bit of a relief, honestly, at this point?
I mean, for me, 100%. You know, I give it all I can every time I step on the floor, but, you know, I got traded last year, and then I ended up finishing the year set, and then the season was ended because of COVID, and then I had to go down to the bubble. I had to stay ready because, you know, talking about starting the season, we're still in the hunt. So I've been going through, you know, for the last two years. So,
you know, my body was
definitely, you know, hey man, like it's, we did it, we made it through, no injuries, but, you know, we need a rest. But I mean, and as a competitor, I know you definitely want to be out there, but playing with eight guys, it's just it's a tall task for, you know, to finish it out like that.
And you mentioned being a competitor. With all that said, I mean, when you see Memphis win game one versus Utah, what are you texting to your teammates and things like that? Are you just thinking, man, if that was us, we could have been right there winning game one against the 1-seed 2? Is there anything like that happening?
Well, we kind of knew the opportunity we have. You know, whether we send a 7 or 8, you know, the two teams of 1 and 2, we felt like we had, you know, we had a really good chance of taking them down. You look at Phoenix's inexperience, you know, across the board. Obviously, they have CP. You know, Devin Booker's a heck of a player, but, you know, I like us over a couple games with the experience and, you know, the defense that we started to play with towards the end of the year, and then Utah. You know, it's basically, you know, Steph versus Rudy Gobert. And I like that matchup. Mm-hmm. You know, first, we had a chance, man. You know, it was kind of laid out for us. And I think once we started to see it, once things started to unfold there, those last 20 games, we kind of saw a little path, you know, it gave us a little bit of inspiration. But, you know, like I said, man, it's nothing we can, you know, really hold our heads down about. I think we gave it everything we had, and, you know, a lot of proud moments, a lot of growth across the board, and, you know, even moving forward, you know, kind of what we learned from this year, you know, pay off for a lot of guys, you know, on their journey.
What are your normal off-season plans, and what are you going to do now, kind of seeing how the country and the world is sort of still in only the beginning stages of sort of reopening up fully? Like, what are your normal off-season plans, and how's that going to change now, if at all?
I don't think anything's going to change for me. I think,
you know, I learned a ton
this year
as far as, you know, what I need to do to take the next step,
you know, as a player, as a professional. I wrote in a journal this year. I took a ton of notes, you know, kind of on flights or at the games or, you know, randomly. So I got a lot of thoughts. And, you know, it's going to be kind of cool to go back and reflect to see, you know, where my head was, kind of, you know, how the season was going and notes I took on the body, on the game. So I got a little plan. You know, I'm definitely been in the weight room, you know, getting the body back right, ready for the grind. Going to be in the gym a little bit more this summer, working on some stuff. So I'm looking forward to what's next, man. I mean, regardless of, you know, where it is, I think, you know, for me personally, it's just going, you know, it's going to be the kind of the best basketball of my life.
Where did you get the idea to start journaling?
I started doing it actually when we were down in the bubble. You know, I was away from my family for 53 days. And, you know, day six, you know, it's just like reality set in. So, you know, and I have a belief about information or knowledge, whatever you want to call it. You know, if you just kind of absorb it, you know, you start overthinking things, you're trying to apply everything. But, you know, writing it down kind of gives you that outlet. You know, it's like a well-oiled machine. You absorb the information, you apply, you process it, and then you write it down. And that helped me a ton this year.
Now that it's been almost a year since the bubble, does it seem like that was a different life now? Does it seem like it was like a movie now that it's so far back?
Man, I mean, yeah, to be honest, man, I haven't even really had time to process it. You know, I've had, you know, my personal life, I've had two kids in the last two seasons. My son is 25 months. Congrats. And my daughter will be 9 months on the 6th. So, you know, not a lot of time for downtime mentally or recharge, or, you know, do all those things, getting ready for the season. You know, I kind of had to, you know, life kind of forced me to step away from basketball and, you know, fulfill the duties at home, because my wife, you know, we lost her mom. My son was 2 weeks old. So she's been in a blender too. So I've, you know, had to find ways, you know, whether it be, you know, easy or not, had to find ways to kind of make sure her mental health is good and, you know, all that. And it's a sacrifice, you know. So, you know, luckily you start your career off in great places and you're around great guys that kind of give you, you know, the habits and stuff to add longevity to your career. And, you know, when it's time to lean on that, which I've had to do the last 2 years, you know, bouncing around, you can't do for me.
Is that partly why you ended up back in Golden State? Did you look at Golden State as a little bit maybe of a support system because you obviously knew people and had relationships in the locker room and things like that? Were you craving something like that?
Yeah, you know, it's I really wanted to go back to Sacramento. You know, spending time with them really gave me a new energy towards the game of basketball. And I was really looking forward to going back and kind of helping, you know, guys like Fox, Buddy, you know, because we really started playing with HB. We really started to, you know, form this crazy bond being down in the bubble together. They train the staff, the coaching staff. So that's kind of where I put, you know, that's, you know, part of my growth is not putting all your eggs in one basket. And, you know, when that fell through, I was kind of in scramble mode. Ended up having to make a decision last minute. And, you know, not saying that, you know, Golden State was, you know, a last-minute decision. It's just kind of, you know, you got three or four teams kind of right there giving you, you know, the best scenario possible. And it's a tough decision. So, you know, coming back home, you know, being, you know, spending a year with Steph, absorbing that knowledge, absorbing, you know, his work ethic, playing with Draymond, you know, getting that fire back, was what I knew I could rely on. And, if you'd have told me when I came here, you know, the year would have went the way it did, I would, you know, I don't know what I would have told you, but, you know, I learned, you know, so much, you know, it's invaluable, you know, to kind of stick it out and go through all that.
Why did it fall through with Sacramento? What happened there?
I don't know, man. I mean, it was a new front office, and, you know, people have, you know, other ideas and, you know, other directions and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into all of that. You know, it's just kind of the nature of the business for me at this point. You know, as you know, you're aware of it, but you just don't really, you know, put energy towards it because it's out of your control. You know, so, you know, I don't know. It's a shocker. You know, we played them a couple times this year, being right up the street. You know, it's just good to see all of them. Bobby Jackson getting the head coaching job down in Stockton. So, guys, you know, life goes on. You know, you just know, you know, those are good people over there. So, nothing bad to say about anything up there.
And you're obviously a free agent again. Bob Myers said during the exit interviews he'd like to be able to bring you back, but you had a good season. You had really two good seasons now in a row. What do you want this offseason?
I want some stability, man. I'm tired of bouncing around. Wife is definitely sick of it. You know, she's human, man. Like, you know, every time she get going, it's time to go again. But she's been great. You know, obviously it's been hard for her, but you know, she let me off the hook a couple times, you know, out of her frustration. So, I'm really thinking hard about that. You know, what she wants. My son will be 3 next April, so it's all, you know, it's time for school, all these kind of things. So, I mean, I'm looking at it from a, I'm wearing a different hat now. And obviously basketball will take care of itself, you know, with this being my 10th season. So I just want to make sure I can, you know, get the small things right.
So to come back to the Warriors, I would imagine it would, some sort of long-term deal. You mentioned the stability, something that, you know, I'm not going to be a free agent again this time next year.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that, and then, you know, that's a whole different stress, you know, regardless if you've been talking about it or not, you know, it's still in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at 18, 19, I was in the last year of a big deal, got traded that summer. And then I played that next year with Portland and Shaq on a contract year. And then this year was a 1 year deal. So it's a lot of, like, you know, unnecessary stress. It's about to be my 10th year, man. I just don't really have time for all the, you know, running around and stuff. I want to win. You know, I want to play at a high level. You know, teams know what I bring at this point. Obviously, I'm working to get better. But as far as teammate, player, pro, you know, I'm the best it gets. So I'm just looking forward to the next opportunity.
I know that, you know, Steve Kerr and everybody praised your defense at the end of the season, specifically your ability to sort of get up and sort of you know, control things defensively, kind of dictate tone and things like that. You've also talked about Steph being the MVP in your mind. You've played with him and against him. The defender that you are, specifically like an on-ball defender that you are, what is the hardest thing about defending somebody like Steph? Is it the, we know the spacing and everything like that, but is it physically just having to cover that much ground, or is it mentally just trying to keep track of somebody like him?
It's a marathon, not a sprint with Steph. When you guard Steph, I mean, I think if you watch the first time we played, if we watched the first game we played OKC, Lou Dort was had the assignment, and then the first time we played Memphis, Dylan Brooks had the assignment, mm-hmm. and they came out just full court pressure, trying to deny everything, you know, getting in foul trouble. But you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint with Steph. You know, Draymond's not going to stop trying to find Steph. Steph is not going to stop being aggressive. So, you know, you got to, you know, pick and choose your battles. And, you know, and that's why he gets those barrages, man. Like, you know, guys just run out of gas. You look at our game. We play Utah, you know, the bigs. We play Philly and Philly. You know, Joel Embiid, you know, trying to stay in front of Steph all night. They just warm out. It's especially when guys got to do it on both ends. It's just a tall task, man. He's in the probably best shape of, you know, the top 0.1% of the 1% of the guys in the NBA. He's that in shape. I had the privilege to work out with him before the season, and you know, it's unreal. You know, it's unreal. He trains the mind and body. And if you don't, you know, if you, it's hard to prepare for it on film. So when you're out there, it just catches you by surprise.
Who are the 5 best players you defended this season, and how did you do?
5 best players I defended this season. Let me see. I mean, do that, you know, when I close the book, so I got to do a little bit of digging here.
Or the best player you defended, or maybe the defensive performance you're most proud of, considering who.
Well, yeah. I think, I mean, most guys, man, it's kind of like, you know, they average what they're going to average. For me, you know, if it take them that amount of shots to get that amount of points, then that's a win in my book. You know, that's how I look at defense. So, as far as, you know, and paying just attention to detail, you know, Russell Westbrook and John Wall probably my most solid defensive performances as far as like turning that corner and not fouling, the rest of my teammates behind me, So that was a big thing for me, you know, being raised in the Eastern Conference. It's a lot more physical. You know, you get to get into the ball, you get to push and bump and grind. So coming out here where all the switching and stuff, and just getting used to not looking like a bull in the China shop on film. Because you watch the film and I'm like kind of flying around, freaking out, just looking, you know, super amateurish. But towards the end of the year, you know, the foul started to go down a little bit. The timing was still a little wonky. I got to get better at that, but definitely did a lot. I went down to a much better job of using my length and keeping guys off the free throw.
A little bit of a lightning round to finish up here. What's the NBA city with the best food?
NBA city for the best food. I have to go Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pizza?
Yeah, ambiance too. Yeah. I mean, just whatever, man. Sushi, all that. You know, the ambiance is really nice there. The tall buildings and the outdoor heated scene with the trees and, you know, flowers and stuff. It's nice.
Best ramen nice. I've ever had was in Chicago. So I think it's a good place. Yeah. NBA city with the worst food.
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that because I may be back there and then they may get over get wind of this and sabotage. So yeah, I'll
good
skip
move. That. Good
excuse
move.
Excuse me, my man. I think you dropped your head cover. Yes, sir. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Have you ever gotten a hole in one?
I have not gotten a hole in one, man. I don't know. I don't even know where to start to get one, to be honest. I mean, I know you hit the ball, but it's just like, do I walk to a tee and like, oh, yeah, this, I'm going to knock this in. I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
Finally, is prime Tiger Woods on the Mount Rushmore of all-time athletes across every sport? Does he make it?
Oh, for sure. You're talking about dominance, man. We talk about like Tiger Jordan. For sure that I saw, you know, that I kind of had a whiff of. I don't want to say those are the only, because, you know, you disrespected a lot of people before them. So in my lifetime, I mean, Tiger Jordan is just unreal. Barry Bonds. Yeah.
Well, those were all the questions I had for you, Kent. I really appreciate the time here. Good luck this offseason. Good luck with the move. Good luck with everything. I really appreciate the time.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. Looking forward to it.
Thanks again to Kent Bazemore for joining the show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening.